Hello, my name is Anna Terry, and hear these words from the Bible. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
Be seated. My name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I am the lead pastor here at the church, and it is wonderful to be in worship with you on this Palm Sunday. I'd like to invite the children to come forward and to come all the way up here and join me. Come on up here and stand up here. And as they come forward, Beth Box is going to help me. Beth is a Sunday school teacher with us, and she's going to come up, and everyone is going to get a palm. No, these are not lightsabers. These are palms. Oh, they get these. This is wonderful. Look at the children are going to get special ones. Everyone, you don't have to sit. Come on up here. Come up and stand with me. All right. So now, oh, thank you very much. So, you may have heard the story that Anna read, and I'm wondering if anyone can tell me, I've got a mic here, if anyone can tell me what these things are called. Can you tell me, Abby, what they're called?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? What are they called?
Palm branches.
They're called palm branches, that's right. And what did people do with them? Got them there? Everyone gets some. What did people do with them when Jesus came into the city? Can someone demonstrate that for me? What'd they do? Yeah, you got it. They waved them. All right, so this is what we're going to do. We've got one more hymn, and we are going to be the people welcoming Jesus. Now, I have to tell you something about these palms that you're holding. They're not just some branch that they cut off a tree. They have a special meaning. They mean victory. And whenever anyone waved the palms, they were saying, "We've won the battle." And so they waved the palms because Jesus was coming to save them. And we're going to celebrate that. So Beth is going to lead us in a march. Beth, let's just go all the way around the whole congregation. And some of the people in the pews have palms too. So you want to watch to make sure they're waving theirs as well. Let's sing and everyone just follow Beth. Thank you so much, children, for leading our parade. I invite you to go to Sunday school. Your Sunday school teachers are waiting.
Good morning. My name is Bill Drabing, and I will be the liturgist this morning. Please join me in the opening prayer, which is found on your bulletin and on the screens. Almighty God, on this day, your Son, Jesus Christ, entered the holy city of Jerusalem, and the people called him King. Let the palm branches be a sign of Jesus' reign. Let our songs and prayers be given to the King of Kings, who offers us hope for this life and joy in the life to come. Amen.
And this morning, we have the joy of sending a team out into the mission field. Would those who are traveling with me to Henderson Settlement in Frakes, Kentucky, join me up front?
Ask you a couple of questions. One of them is, this is one of our first official intergenerational teams, and I'm wondering, why did you choose to lead a team of many generations?
Well, I often tried to respond to God's call when called to serve at church, and this call came through my daughter, Kayla. Well, she and I had spent the previous spring break at Henderson Settlement on a trip with the Ann Arbor First United Methodist Church, And she came back and told everyone that our church needs to be sending a family group to Henderson Settlement. So I said, let's make that happen.
So what do you hope for this team in Kentucky when they're down there, or for the people that you help? What are you hoping for?
Well, I hope that we come together in faith to do God's work, and that is a blessing to those we serve, but I know it will be a blessing to us as well.
All righty. I invite you to pray with me, and if you're feeling like offering a blessing, I even ask you to extend a hand of blessing toward this team. Let's pray for them as we commission them for God's work. Lord, we ask your blessing on this team who will travel to Kentucky, not only representing this church in your work, but representing Jesus Christ. Bless their work. Help them to be the picture of Christ for those that they help. Help them to be kind with one another and those they meet. Give them safe travel and have them ever know that in the call to make disciples, the call to serve you as disciples, they are offering their service in Jesus' name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. I'm glad that Susan pulled you back together with music pretty friendly today. Well, this is the beginning of Holy Week, and we've celebrated by the waving of palms, and now, in the tradition of our church, we will walk through our Passion Week this morning. Now, it is something for us to remember. After the waving of the palms, many were left by the side of the road to dry, and the Passover celebration continued in Jerusalem. Jesus went right into the city, according to the Gospel of Luke, and into the temple, into the courtyard, and overturned the tables of the money changers and scolded them for making the temple a den of thieves. He then went on through the next few days to spend the night out in villages with his friends and the day in Jerusalem, mostly around the temple. And there he taught the crowds who had come for the Passover feast, and he also was challenged by the religious leaders, the chief priests, and the Pharisees, and he rose to those challenges. In the midst of that, there was worry and sadness from his disciples, because they knew as the tension rose that bad things were on their way, and Jesus had told them again and again that he had come to face his death. And so we're going to remember that today. Now, in these last weeks leading up to Easter, we have been talking about preparing for Easter by not going so fast. We spent a Sunday talking about slowing down to pray, slowing down to trust in God. We spent a whole Sunday talking about rest and what benefits rest can bring us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We've talked about being not so fast to move through the events in our lives, the highest in joy and the lowest in grief, but that we experience those fully. We've talked about being not so fast to judgment. And last week, we talked about not being fast to make this commitment as a disciple of Jesus Christ because it requires so much of us. And this week, we're going to practice what we're talking about. We're going to take some time in this service to pray and to reflect. You're going to hear scripture readings, and sometimes after the scripture reading, there'll be music and a time for you to reflect in the midst of that music. And sometimes after the scripture reading, there will be silence. And I invite you into this time to truly worship God. You might choose those times of reflection to pray, to meditate, to offer praises to God. You may close your eyes. You may sit with your hands open on your lap. If this is difficult for you, you can pull out the Bible and starting in chapter 22 of Luke, just read the gospel account this morning. But in some way, I invite you to make this a time where in community, we worship together in prayer and praise. And so we begin by remembering that last night before Jesus died. In Holy Communion, It is a practice of remembering. And in the tradition of our church, in the tradition of the Church Universal, we do three things to remember. The first thing is we remember our own brokenness, and we do that with a prayer of confession. And I will lead that and give you some time to offer your own prayers of confession. And then we remember what Jesus did on that last night. And I will be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. And then, in the tradition of the church, we consecrate the bread and the grape juice that we use, that the Holy Spirit might be here among us and on those elements, so that we might be equipped and nourished to be the body of Christ. I would like to remind you, before we begin this service of Holy Communion, that in the United Methodist Church, we believe that this is the table of Jesus Christ and all are welcome. So you don't need to be a member of this church or a member of another church. You just have to have a desire to come forward in remembering and in understanding that this is a place where we are nourished as a community. And so join me as we begin our prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that often our spirit has not been that of Christ, where we have failed to love one another as he loves, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted, or denied him. Forgive us, we pray. And by your Spirit, make us faithful in every time of trial. We offer now to you our personal confessions. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Christ suffered and died for us, and he was raised from the dead for us. Christ lives and desires relationship with us. Believe this good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "Take this cup. It is a new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you." Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you on the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." When Jesus entered the temple's courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it in a den of robbers."
As we enter a time of prayer, I want to direct your attention to the prayer quilts. We have two this morning. So as you leave today, please take a moment to tie a knot, say a prayer, sign their cards, and let them know that we hold them in prayer and love from this congregation. As I lead us in prayer, I invite you to silently add your own petitions and prayers where I give you pause and rest. Let's pray. Loving God, we are thankful for today, for this time set aside to be in community and in worship with you. Time for silence and time for music. Time for sharing all the joys and pains on our hearts. Together now we lift up our hearts and take notice of the blessings you have given us. For the rain and sun, we give you thanks. For the protection in the storms of life, we give you thanks. As winter gives way to spring, signs of new life are budding up around us, and we give you thanks. Lord, we have spent these weeks of Lent slowing down, paying attention, and clearing out the clutter that keeps us from you. Help us, we pray, to hold on to these practices, for in spending extra time in relationship with you, we are reminded that we are your children and you love us. As our loving parent, we bring you these petitions from a broken world. We offer prayers for peace, for goodwill among all nations, and for the well-being of all people near and far. We pray for justice. We bring prayers for our church and the greater community, for the people and our leaders. We pray for wisdom. We pray for mercy. We pray for all those who are struggling or sick, those who are hungry or lonely, those imprisoned or far from home. We pray for healing and wholeness. Now together, we lift up our voices as one, repeating the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
For the next two scriptures, following them, we will sit in silence. We will join with Christians through the centuries who have used a time of silence to wait upon the Holy Spirit. Now, in our noisy world, silence can be difficult. And often, when we are in the midst of silence, we think something is broken or wrong. So we turn on the radio or check to make sure the electricity is on, because silence can be uncomfortable. But I invite you into this time. And as we do, we will notice that silence isn't really silent. And so you'll hear the traffic, perhaps, from Grand River, and maybe some sounds from outside. You'll hear the mechanics of this building going on. You may hear the voices or cries of children. You'll hear the people beside you shuffling, breathing, clearing throats. I invite you to just take that in and let that become part of the silence. And in this time, let the Holy Spirit come. Open your hearts, and if the person sitting beside you falls asleep, that's okay. It's okay. Hear the word of God. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breast and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Amen. I offer an invitation. First, an invitation to join us at our coffee hour out in the community room through the two sets of doors. There is conversation and friendship to have. And I also offer an invitation through this Holy Week that we will, in silence and in pausing, remember Jesus' journey, that you come on Thursday night at 7 o'clock to join us for a reenactment of the Last Supper and to join in Holy Communion. On Friday, that you take advantage of one of these community services or one where you are. Be in worship on Good Friday and on Easter morning. We have all three of our services, and if you are particularly energetic, at 7:30 we begin with a sunrise service in our memorial garden outside, where we will remember those who are in resurrection and we will remember our baptism. Go now, knowing that Christ walks with us in a powerful way, the King, the Savior, the Messiah. Go in peace. Amen.